Welcome to another edition of Third World View, your weekly source for news and analysis from around the Third World, right here on community-supported radio, WORT 89.9.
Welcome to the August 15th edition of Third World View. I'm your host, Steve. Third World View's Mark Becker is currently in Paraguay and tonight brings us a feature from the Fourth America Social Forum. For tonight's feature, Third World View collective member Mark Becker interviews Teresa Camaranzi about the School of America's Watch at the Fourth America Social Forum in Ashcon, Paraguay.
Buen día, damas y caballeros, pa eche pa pendeco e, iro ujina ko api asunción pe, asunción de Paraguay, pero arrecoche mate caliente, mate jacu, mate amargo, mate ro, ha, peixero, che ai cojina, ai co porajina ko angete de y gusto api Paraguay pe.
Good evening. My name is Mark Becker. I'm a member of the Third World View Collective, and I'm here in Asunción, Paraguay tonight with Teresa Camaranzi. Did I say that properly?
Camaranzi.
Thank you. And we're here in Asunción, Paraguay at the Fourth America Social Forum. And first of all, could you tell us what you just told us in Guarani?
I think I said, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How is your morning? My morning is it's a little cold here in Asunción, but I have my mate. I have my hot mate here in my hand. I'm drinking a bitter tea to keep me warm, and it's very fine here drinking tea in Paraguay this morning.
Where does mate come from?
Oh, mate is from the bark and leaves of a certain kind of tree that comes from the area here and up in the mountains, up in the cerros of Paraguay. It's a indigenous. I mean, they've been drinking this kind of tea here in the area. The Guarani Indians for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and it's basically the bark and leaves of a particular tree, and then it gets cultivated, then the leaves get smoked, and then it gets basically packaged, and then all the Paraguayans and also many Argentinians, Uruguayans, and Bolivians, they put it in this little recipiente, little receptacle, and drink it out of a metal straw, and it's a very, it's a very sociable drink, and it's one way, it's a way that people when they to get together and talk, and they sit and they just pass this little gourd filled with the yerba. The yerba is the leaves and the bark of the tree, and they pass it around and drink the hot water and share, because this is a very sharing society. They share all their food, they share their farm equipment, they share their drinks in the morning.
And the language you were speaking?
I was speaking Guarani, which is the part of the Tupi Guarani family, and Paraguay is a bilingual country by law, where all of the education has to be both equally in Spanish and Guarani, but the language that people in Paraguay speak in their homes for the most part and speak in their communities and dream in at night and, the language of their heart is Guarani.
And Paraguay is unique in the Americas, I think, that an originally indigenous language has become a national language, right?
The indigenous language has been recognized as the national language for many years. It was kind of depreciado. It was kind of put down, but now I would say that It's really a point of very strong pride that they speak Guarani, and if you and really to kind of get to know the people here of Paraguay, speak to them in Guarani, even if you don't speak it well, and I don't really speak it very well, but you speak it, you start to converse, and they just open up and start because they love their language. They're so proud of their language.
How long have you been in Paraguay? When did you first come here?
I first came here as a Peace Corps volunteer in 1983, and so I lived here for basically 3 years, 83, 84, 85, and I've been coming back to Paraguay, which is a very welcoming country. At least it's been very warm and welcoming to me, a lot of hospitality here. So I've been coming back here for the last, 25 years or so.
And we're here this week for the America Social Forum. This is comes out of the World Social Forum that first met in Porto Alegre, Brazil in 2001. This is the fourth America Social Forum. The first one was in Ecuador in 2004, and then in Venezuela in 2006, Guatemala in 2008. And now we're here in Asunción, Paraguay. With your 25 years of experience, and just for our listeners who don't know about the World Social Forum, America Social Forum, this is related also to the United States Social Forum that met in Detroit at the end of June. And the two main themes here are generally against neoliberal globalization and against militarization. And given your history here in Paraguay, is this surprising that the Social Forum to you comes to Paraguay, or is this a logical extension of types of social movement organizing, the type of society that you see here in Paraguay?
Well, in some sense, it was. I think to the Paraguayans, it's a thrill and maybe a little bit of a recognition, because Paraguay is kind of off off the tourist trail, and not even a lot of Latin Americans come and visit Paraguay. It has a kind of history of being self-sustaining. But it also does have a history of resistance, of having lived under a long, long dictatorship from Stroessner from 1954 to 1989, a very very repressive and bloody dictatorship. They do have a history of resisting the militarism, and I should also say, they also have for various reasons, a history. I think, if I remember, I've been told this. I haven't checked these facts for myself, but I think Paraguay has the largest percentage of conscientious objectors in the whole of the hemisphere. There's for males, military service is supposedly an obligation, but there is a way of becoming not serving in the military, and going through the steps to become a conscientious objector, and they have a very large conscientious objector. So that theme of the social forum is very much in line in what is part of the Paraguayan experience.
We're speaking here tonight with Teresa Camaranesi.
Camaranesi,
sorry, I keep getting that wrong, at the America Social Forum here in Asunción, Paraguay. And Teresa, you're also part of the National Council of the School of the Americas Watch, the Western representative. School of Americas Watch is divided into 12 regions. And could you tell us a little bit about what the School of the Americas is and what the School of the Americas Watch is?
Yes, okay. The School of Americas is a military training institution. It has a unique place in the structure of our U.S. military. It was first basically located in Panama, and then in what year was it? 1980 something. We don't remember.
89? No.
No, no. 80. A little. I don't. In the mid 1980s, when it was in Jimmy Carter's administration, when the Panamanians basically took their canal back and they kicked out the U.S. base that was there, on which was located the School of the Americas. That institution is now been relocated since then to Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia. The School of the Americas is known throughout Latin America. It has a couple of nicknames. It's also called the School of Coups, the School of Assassins, La Escuela de Asesinos, La Escuela de los Golpes. Because of its, the institution brings some mid-level Latin American military people up for months or sometimes up to a year of training in various, you know, in various things. But they've been known for training in counter-terrorism methodology, in interrogations, in methods of repression. For a number of years, their actual school manuals included manuals of methods of torture. When those manuals came to light, the school had to kind of repudiate these manuals, at least publicly. The graduates of the school have been involved in almost all of the most renowned human rights violations that have occurred in the last 20, 30 years in Latin America, including the killings of the six Jesuits in El Salvador, the nuns that were kidnapped, raped, and buried in El Salvador, the massacre of El Misote. Right now, many of the most violent occurrences in Colombia, because the civil war in Colombia, are being perpetuated by graduates of the School of the Americas. The recent coup last year in Honduras, I think 9 of the people involved in it, the military heads of this coup, were graduates of the School of the Americas. So it's not a school whose repercussions are all of the past. This is a school who has some very heavy repercussions in the lives of today's Latin Americans, and so it continues to be a school that is hated by the grassroots populations here in Central and South America. And so
we're talking here tonight with Teresa Camaranesi from the School of the Americas Watch. And if you could tell us, what is the School of the Americas Watch then? How did it respond to these threats?
Okay, well, the School of the Americas Watch has been, it basically started 20 years ago by a Marinal priest, Father Roy Bourgeois, when he himself, a torture survivor under the Bonzer administration in Bolivia. He was a priest in a U.S. He's from the U.S., but he lived in Bolivia for many years, and he was like grabbed off the street at one point in time and suffered some physical harm and was kicked out of the country. And he survived. Many other people, I mean, he lived to get out of the country, but many people did not live. And he started wondering, you know, why this was going on. And he started finding out, he found out about the teaching of on Fort Benning, that the people who were involved in the deaths of some of his friends were the Marinal nuns who were killed in El Salvador. And he started to stand, do little acts of protest against this school whose teachings were so abhorrent. And in the past 20 years, little by little, year by year, the number of people who gather to protest the presence and the teaching of the School of the School of the Americas has grown and grown and grown over the years. Now it's thousands and thousands of people across the United States come every year to a very well-established vigil in front of the gates of Fort Benning, Georgia, in protest of, and are protesting the School of the Americas, which is housed on Fort Benning. So the School of the Americas Watch is an organization. I belong to this. I'm part of the directive body of this organization, that who we have as our goal to close this school and to try to change the oppressive foreign policy of the United States that brought this institution into existence. And we use strategies such as, nonviolent resistance in public, such as protest in front of the gates, but also using methods of lobbying, trying to get a law, attempting to get a law passed. And also recently we've been taking delegations to the various countries of South America, Central America, to ask the governing the ministers of defense and the presidents and vice presidents and those who might have direct power to not send any more students to the School of America, basically to close the school by attrition. And we have had some success in this arm of our strategy, and such that in the last couple of years there have been five countries who have publicly stated that they, by their presidents, that they will no longer send students to the School of the Americas. First, Venezuela was the first to say that, and then subsequently Argentina, the president of Argentina, the Tavares Vasquez in Uruguay, and Bolivia, and also, even though Costa Rica does not have an army, they have sent police to the school because the School of the Americas trains police now in military methodology, military methods of repressing the social movements of the people in their own countries. The School of the Americas has kind of broadened their student base and their teachings. And so in response, the School of Chris Watch is also attempting to broaden its way of trying to close the school. So Oscar Arias of Costa Rica has said that he would not send any more students. It's a little bit difficult, but these are the five countries that have publicly announced this.
We're here, Teresa, from the School of the Americas Watch at the America's Social Forum in Asunción, Paraguay. And why did you come to the Social Forum? What have you done here, School of the Americas Watch, at the Forum?
Well, myself and some other people involved in the movement, including Pablo Ruiz, who is one of the leaders of the School of America's Watch in Chile, because School of America's Watch not only is in the United States, but it's also in, there are little bodies of resistors in various countries of South America. So he's from Chile, and we've come and we had a workshop about the School of America's Watch movement, the School of the Americas history, and and how it relates to what's the word that I could use?
You mean to anti-militarization movements?
Yeah, it's joining with other. We wanted to link up with other
social movements,
but also like just have a discussion around how people are repressed, methods of repression.
Yeah. How have people responded to this discussion?
Actually, very interesting. Many people already knew about the School of Americas, and we had a little table on the walkway, which with some brochures to hand out, and all the things that usually happen at social forums and public events, and then people would just come up and say, "Oh yes, I know about this. I'm from Honduras, and I know that these people." And so they would start talking to us. We were very well received here, and many of the people had a background, and it was good actually that from the various countries, this would be that our little table on the walkway became sort of a little link up for, like, one person from Honduras would come, and there would be somebody from Colombia there, and then they would start talking. So it became like a little center of vinculation.
Some people complain that social forums are just yap fests, that there's a lot of talk and nothing concrete ever comes out of it. Do you have any reactions to that? Are social forums useful? Is there something positive, concrete that comes out of your experience here?
It is a yap fest, that's true. But in the little side conversations at these yap fests, people meet other people who are doing the same, who have the same goals and working on the same issues as they are, but in another country. And so, for me, the utility of these type of things is not what's going on the stage, but the little side conversations and the moments of inspiration and the new methodologies of doing ways of doing something that people find not from the stage, but on those little side conversations that happen on the walkway, or when people just start having a conversation at the table at lunch or something like that.
We're here in Paraguay, and I noticed that when you talked about the countries who had not stopped sending soldiers to the School of Americas, you did not include Paraguay. And Fernando Lugo is allegedly one of the new leftist presidents in Latin America who's leading this turn to the left. He was a liberation theologian, priest, who was with the social movements. What does this say about Fernando Lugo and where Paraguay is in this entire movement, that they're still sending soldiers to the School of the Americas?
Well, 2 years ago, when myself and some other people from the School of the Americas Watch movement came here, we were able to speak to Fernando Lugo and broach to him the suggestion that Paraguay no longer send students to the School of the Americas. He was a newly elected president at that point in time. He's not a professional politician. He's a priest from he was a bishop from the who was heavily involved, in the social movements, the agrarian movements of, because he was from basically one of the very poorest of areas of Paraguay. So we did speak to him at that point in time. We also spoke to his defense minister and his the Minister of Interior, who's under whose jurisdiction is the police. They did not reject the idea outright, but Fernando Lugo is himself in a fairly precarious political position here. He's a little bit more progressive than his predecessors. But he is not a professional politician, and he sort of has a very fine line to walk with the Congress, and the judicial powers, the Supreme Court, etc., who are not from the same political line as him. When the countries, they're not governed by just one person. That's an oligarchy or dictatorship, and he's he's not felt comfortable in taking those steps to do it, but he was listening. And I will say that we did again speak to the defense minister, Barreiro Spaini, here at the social forum. We noticed he was here at one of the meetings, and so we went up and we reminded him of our prior meetings with him to not send any more students to the School of Americas, and he actually had been very receptive himself. But a lot of politicians, they do say, yeah, I agree with you, but I can't do anything right now. And that's basically what he said 2 years ago when we asked at that time, and that's basically what he said this time, too. But Spaini is a former military person himself, actually a graduate of the School of Americas himself, but he's considered the most ethical of the ministers currently. And he was actually involved, very supportive of the process, the truth and reconciliation, the truth and justice process that had been going on here in Paraguay. And he's admired by the justice, peace and justice movement here, but he also does not govern alone.
Image, hope do you have for the future of Paraguay, of the Social Forum, for the School of Americas? Are you optimistic? What are the next steps?
My optimism would lie in the strength of the grassroots, probably. In some sense, they're just going to keep on going forward to improve their lives for the protection of their water, for the protection of, it's a very agricultural country, for the protection of their soils, to try and have sufficient land to cultivate for each family, which is a struggle here in Paraguay right now, and try and cut down the size of the large monocultural agribusiness here. It is an uphill battle, but I do take heart by the fact that so many people have seemed to be more knowledgeable this year or in recent years than when I first came here 25 years ago, and people have felt a little bit more power in their own hands. So baby steps, I do feel a little bit more optimistic, but also it is still an ongoing struggle.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure to talk with you today here. And I'll close with another saying, Tapi hope pora. May you go well in your road today.
Good evening. This is Mark Becker for the Third World View Collective from the Fourth America Social Forum in Asunción, Paraguay.
You have been listening to a feature brought to you from Paraguay, something you only hear on Third World View, probably in town.
Third World View is written and produced by a collective of volunteers. We welcome your comments and suggestions. You can also contact us at the station if you're interested in joining our collective and helping to bring third world issues to the airwaves. Third World View can be heard every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WORT, your community radio.
You are listening to WORT 89.9 Madison, Wisconsin.